I'm a faithful believer in Jesus who's in recovery for being emotionally and spiritually broken. I struggle with the effects of broken relationships and spousal abuse. I'm having victory over my anger, fear, anxiety, shame, and depression. And my name is Steve.
Hey, Steve.
I'm 48 years of age. I am college educated, and I have been married and divorced 2 times. I have 2 beautiful daughters from my second marriage. I was born and raised in Grants Pass, Oregon. My mother and father were married for 53 years. My father's still living. I am the middle child of 3 children, and I have an older sister and a younger brother. The family property was located on a dead-end street surrounded by cow pastures. It was a perfect area for a boy like me to grow up. It was a short walk to a fence crossing to get to a fish-bearing stream and to the lumber mill that, of course, had vast areas of log decks and ponds and forested areas as well. I became best friends with the boy who spent his summers with his grandparents who lived on our street. We were truly best of friends and spent every moment possible together exploring our area and getting into outdoor adventures, the kind of outdoor adventures that boys tend to get into, everything possible. We were free range, and the sound of a large cowbell brought us back in for meals. We have all of our appendages intact, but that does not go to say that there were no stitches or injury recovery days. Yes, we played with fireworks, BB guns, high-powered pellet rifles, knives, bows, and arrows, and lots of relatively small explosives. Riding horses and the occasional cow led to unlimited Western fantasy play, and we played in God's garden. I had tough discipline from my mother. If I disrespected her with my words, I got a bar of soap in my mouth. If I was out of control or did not just yield, I would have an intimate meeting with the yardstick, belt, or hand. I probably deserved it, but it made me feel like I was the black sheep of the family. My mother did not direct her negative energy in this way towards my brother or sister. And this, along with a few other things I'm about to share, led to some subsurface anger problems. My anger manifested itself with internal negative self-talk and a sense that I was not good enough. I had poor vision, so I wore glasses from a young age. I was lightly bullied because of them, and that made me feel very sad. I also struggled with my speech. I didn't know or think anything was wrong, but I started getting tested, and the testing led to speech therapy. I even ended up as an Easter Seal child and even sat on Terry Bradshaw's lap during an Easter Seal telethon, and yes, it was televised. Another event I can recall very vividly, and this was during my elementary school years, is when my parents, probably my mother, somehow got me signed up to do a few events in a Special Olympics track meet. Let's just say I dominated my competition, and I was never hugged by so many people after finishing any race or event after that to this date. I felt a lot of embarrassment and shame participating in the event with other athletes that had real disabilities. My mother held me back in first grade, so I got to do it twice. This basically sets the stage for my struggles. I struggled through school with a label on my back that I was stupid and not worthy. I struggled with poor self-esteem because I was bullied and I blamed it on my glasses. I felt shame when they would pull me out of class for special ed testing. But I combated this with effort in my classwork. I worked hard to prove that I was not a special needs student. I grew up being a little shy, innocent, and naive. I had a lot of friends, but felt lonely because I felt defective inside. I consumed myself in athletics growing up. I found a place to create my identity. I was that athlete that was never the top dog, but was above average and had persistence and drive to get better at my sports. I felt that I could not be valued enough by my friends or parents if I was not competing at a high level. And for me, it was also the way I attempted to gain respect from the other boys and the girls. I would fantasize about receiving that championship trophy or medal so that I could show everyone that I was worthy and important. I graduated with honors from high school. When I first was told about the achievement, I thought it was a joke. I received the Most Inspirational Athlete Award my senior year. I used athletics to try to fill that missing piece of my soul. I got into wildland firefighting at the age of 16, and fighting fire was my summer job through high school and into my college years and I'm still involved. I also got into teaching skiing, coaching ski racers in college and beyond. I put all my focus into my summer firefighting and winter skiing, and I did place my identity in those things. I was leaning on this identity in hopes that I would be respected and appreciated by others. However, I was still only trying to fill that missing piece of my soul. I struggled with college, not because of grades, but over what I was to become. I would share with my mother that I wanted to study marine biology, forestry, or become a teacher and coach like her and dad. She would consistently say that I would not be able to find work in the natural resource fields and that that teaching would not be a good option. So I was always hung up on what I was going to do for a career. I created for myself a lot of low-level fear and anxiety, shame, and a sense of loneliness for not being able to know my future and to meet the perceived expectations of my mother. She did, however, stand on her default statement, "I'm not worried about you because you're a hard worker." My mother and father instilled that value in me. I was not to quit or give up after committing to something or someone. My spirituality was pretty rich. I was brought up in the Methodist Church and attended Sunday school into my elementary years, and I knew there was a higher power and sought it with an internal and private passion, and I knew of Jesus, but never wanted to lean on him. My church was outdoors, on the mountains or in the forest. Jesus, though, was not really for me. After all, I thought that I was supposed to be God, create my future, control my destiny, and I could do all this through just being a good person and hard work. I did not know what I wanted to do with my life, but I knew I wanted to be a husband and a father and live that dream life. I met my first wife on a ski mountain. We experienced and witnessed a family tragedy on her side of the family, and I was there for her. I married her. I did not know, though, that just before we met, she'd been fresh out of a rehab facility. She had struggled with alcohol and drugs and suicidal depression. And as a result of the family tragedy, she relapsed and over a period of time became non-functioning. I was working three jobs to keep the bills paid and had no idea of how to get help for her or for me. I became extremely scared for her, confused that I could not fix her, and angry over the destruction of the marriage. I became sick myself with fear and anxiety, anger, resentment, and shame. I had called out to God to help many times, and I knew that this problem was bigger than me. My thinking was not clear and was fear-based, and I felt totally lost and knew no other way to escape than to escape. I felt that I had done all that I could under my own power. I couldn't fix her, and I ended the marriage, and I never looked back. I met my second wife soon after. I was more than willing to yield to this woman in order to compensate for my insecurities. The relationship flipped as soon as we were married. We got pregnant and had our first child, our first year of marriage. I was ready for my second divorce before we even returned from our honeymoon. We made a conscious decision to have a second child. I remember praying with intention for the child before we created her. Things were not good in my house. I was putting full effort into being a good husband and father and was submitting to my wife's needs and demands. My wife's income was greater than mine. I had grown accustomed to multiple levels of domestic abuse. My wife's demeanor changed after we married. I experienced intimidation, emotional abuse, isolation, gaslighting, and blame shifting. Privilege, coercion and threats, and there were some physical abuse projected upon me as well. I became very resentful and bitter, which of course led to anger. After many years, I finally had the courage to leave the house. I was told that if I ever left, that I would be destroyed. I was broken, yet free. I had no idea that the worst was on the horizon. We had a final incident in front of our young children, and I got the police involved. I filed for divorce, and this led to a restraining order that placed limitations on my parenting ability with my children and was based on false testimony. My civil case turned into a criminal case. I was arrested on felony assault and abuse charges in my hearing to contest the restraining order. I never had an opportunity to advocate for myself, and I just gave up. I just didn't want to fight for my pride anymore, and I had had enough. I eventually pled out of a misdemeanor harassment charge, but it had a domestic violence tag on it. I just wanted the madness to go away, and this process broke me even more. I walked away from the divorce with nothing, made some critical decisions that were based on the greater good of my children's quality of life, the material things. I even gave up shared custody of my children. I believed that God would make it right someday, and this was a big leap of faith. It was the most painful process I've ever been through. This same period of time, I was watching my mother die from Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS. This only added to my instability, and I was able to make amends with my mother and tell her how proud I was to have her as my mother, and that I recognized how much she loved me, and that I was forever grateful for her for always being there for me, regardless of my circumstances. I'm so grateful that I was able to have the opportunities to make amends and set things right with my mother before she died, and she did the same with me. I found myself broken and in great despair, and I felt like I wanted to die, and I was strongly considering it. But I knew I had to hang in there for my kids. I knew deep down that I cannot let them down as a father. I was super angry and really sick. I'd become physically sick from my internal pain and suffering, and I wanted to sleep all the time. Sleeping was my only escape that brought relief, and it took every ounce of energy to get up and to go to work. I wasn't thinking straight, and I got involved in a couple of old girlfriends that had reached out to me. I had not seen them in over 20 years, and they were married, and I had a few dates with each of them, and those choices led to deep and profound unintended consequences on their sides of the fence. I'd had enough of myself, and it hit rock bottom, and I found myself on my knees calling out to Jesus one night. I will never forget that event. For the first time, I had not called out to God, but to Jesus. I begged him to help me and to save me from my crazy self and my circumstances. I spent a lot of time and endured a lot of pain repenting for all the bad choices that I have made. I had begun to believe the lies that it was all my entire fault for not being a better man. All my other personal hang-ups were piled on my shoulders as well. I was wrapped in my own chains, and I had a serious season of grieving. Through this period of time, God started to move in my life. Circumstances later led me to a divorce care ministry, and I turned my life over to Jesus a few weeks into the program. Just saying the Lord's name out loud was a bit uncomfortable at first, but with intentional practice, it got easier over time. There is power in the name of Jesus. One of the other participants in the divorce care ministry invited me to attend a Celebrate Recovery meeting. I was like, no way, I'm not an addict. He assured me that it was for people just like me who were broken regardless of their hurts, habits, or hangups. My first meeting, I can remember still being completely broken and full of shame and angry and bitter and resentful and still holding a victim mentality. I remember crying in my car before walking through the doors of CR for the first time. I was alone and very scared, and I was worried about what everyone would think of me. I did my best to walk in with my chin up. The person that invited me welcomed me and kind of took me under his wing, and I was introduced to a few men and was pleasantly surprised with their attitude of kindness. Everything was new to me, and I kept showing up. The worship music was better than the traditional choir music I was accustomed to in the past. The teachings were enlightening, but the first time I heard a testimony, my skin lit up with goosebumps. It was the first time I heard another person tell a story of how they were broken and how Jesus put them back together. I heard about doing the hard work in something called a step study. I decided that Celebrate Recovery was going to be my program, and I realized that I needed recovery. Recovery was going to be something that no one else was forcing me to do. It was going to be for me, and I was not going to let anyone take it away from me. I realize now that this was not me, but the power of the Spirit leading me and working through others to draw me closer to Jesus. I signed up to do the next available step study. I got halfway through Riot Act, one of the critical periods of the 12-step process, the inventory, and unofficially worked through it. I was having some victory and forgiveness in my heart, and the opportunity was there to return to my family, so I gave it another shot as a changed person. I also made amends for all the harm I had done without the expectation of return favor. I lasted 6 months and had to leave again due to safety reasons. One of the reasons I went back was because of my fear and anxiety over being financially broken and not being able to afford to make ends meet living on my own, not to mention wanting to be with my children. I started and completed another step study. I did not finish my first one. I was having a lot of victory over my fear and anger and unforgiveness and being resentful. I was learning about codependency. I was praying a lot and progressively learning how to turn my hurts, habits, and hang-ups over to God. I was developing in a new community with Christ followers. I still had a lot of pain around being separated from my children and not being able to spend more time with them. Through all this work, the Lord revealed to me what I had done in my past marriage and just how wrong I was and how I had contributed to the dysfunction of the relationship. And this is how I fell. Instead of consistently trying to please her as I had done in the beginning and core of the marriage, by the end of it, I would find opportunities not to lift her up or compliment her. Instead, I would make small comments that were strategically designed to hurt her out of retaliation. Looking back, I had changed into a person who was not me, and my bitterness was like growing cancer, and it had changed me. I used everything from her appearance to her parenting skills. Just like she knew exactly the right buttons to push on me, I knew exactly how to hurt her back. I would also use the silent treatment or just not be in the same room as her. But I used all my positive energy on the children. I tried my best not to be that bitter person, but when I was challenged or in the midst of abuse, I got to a point in which I could not stop myself from fighting back. I just stopped. Just stop being a positive partner. And I can share now that because of all my insecurities and the fact that my partner knew of them, I was very vulnerable. When my insecurities were attacked, my coping strategy turned from self-defense to verbal abuse. My bitterness and resentfulness and anger had taken over my being. And in my mind, the things I was saying and doing to my wife was nothing compared to what I was enduring. Saying things like, if you didn't drink so much, maybe you'd be able to lose some weight would drop her to the floor. For me, the constant messages I received about falling short of being a good husband, good father, not making enough money, and being told I was crazy all the time sent me on a downward spiral. Out of deep-rooted insecurities and the barrage of lies that I had been fed daily, I found myself trapped in a corner. And the only way I knew out was to respond with self-defense and match that verbal intensity and argue my way out. I remember when and why I made that conscious decision to start treating her as she was treating me. And I fell as a man, a husband, and a father, and my identity had been destroyed. There should be no excuses, and there should be no excuses for my sinful behavior regardless of my circumstances. Nothing was working for me, but believe me when I say I tried everything possible. And I tried everything possible and positive tactically to change her behavior. I had become someone who just wasn't me. Now, I took ownership of my poor behavior and life choices. Step one, principle one, was the most powerful for me. Principle one states, realize I am not God, and I admit that I am powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. I woke up one Sunday morning and with the Spirit prompting me to rise and go to church. It just happened to be Baptism Sunday, and I knew immediately why I was led there. I said a quick prayer, released the last major thing I needed to hand over to God, my children, and I took a bath in the name of Jesus. That was a key moment. Everything was lifted off my shoulders, and God was now in control of my life. I believe I truly experienced the Spirit-led baptism. And after that event, I was changed from the inside out. I can't believe that I can say this and own it, but I was dead. But now I am alive. I was lost, Now I am found. I was born again into the light, and I can see with new eyes. I praise the Lord for Celebrate Recovery. No words can fully describe how I feel and what I've witnessed as a result of CR. I am a believer. I am a believer because I see the healing taking place in this house of God. I've received true healing through Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. My heart softened, and I have an open heart again, and I have more overwhelming joy despite my challenges and circumstances. No more lies. I know who God says I am. I know I am loved by my Heavenly Father, and I know that I have a place in His kingdom. That missing part of my soul was filled with God's grace and love for me and my love for Him. In closing, God has changed my relationship with others. I am more open and honest than ever before. I listen more intently, and I am much more patient. I seek the Lord's advice as well as wisdom from my trusted brothers. I support instead of try to fix other people. I have personal boundaries, and the Lord has strengthened and continues to build a once fragile relationship with my children. He has replaced my old communities with new ones. And I now realize that I've been developing God-given talents and gifts my whole life. God has directed me to continue in my passions so that I can continue to share them with others. Instead of using them to feed my ego and pride, I can use them to spread God's light and encourage others and point them to God. This, as I understand it now, is what it's all about. My old ways were filled with living in the past or the future, full of worry and fear, and I was challenged with anxiety and anger, not to mention lack of patience. I was always trying to fix others and gain approval through materialistic accomplishments. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. My walk with God has changed completely. I'm now Christ-centered in all relationships and hold my thoughts to the Word of God. I'm not perfect, and I still have a lot of work to do, but I work really hard at putting Jesus first. When I am wrong or hurtful, I make quick amends, and I am quick to forgive others who hurt me. I lean into joy and gratitude, and I enjoy encouraging others. When I'm confronted with struggles, I turn to my sponsor or accountability partners instead of drinking or smoking pot. We call that self-medicating. I seek wisdom by bringing important issues to someone I trust. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I have found tremendous benefits from working the CR program. I found a Christ-centered community. I receive and provide support to other men in the program, and it pulls me closer to the Lord. And the Step Study program has extremely powerful healing benefits. It's an opportunity to get right with God. It worked for me, and it will work for you too. Another benefit CR provides is an open venue to serve others. It took me a little time to warm up, but I began helping in ways that I could. I completed the leadership training and lead small groups on occasion, and I have also served at our special events. I have gotten involved with volunteer with other ministries as well. Getting involved is the fast track to success and develops new opportunities to experience healthy relationships with others. I no longer see myself as damaged goods. I know I am worthy. As I walk forward, I have participated in my first men's Bible study group and the new Step Study program, The Journey Continues, to name a couple of programs. Plus, serving outside of CR has only been enriching for me. It's opened me up to even a greater understanding of kingdom work and the healing power of community. I encourage the newcomer to keep coming back. This is the start of a process, and brokenness is not repaired overnight. I found a home, hope, and healing with the people I walk with in this program. The personal work it took for me to get to this point in my testimony was one of the most challenging yet rewarding things I've ever accomplished. If I was able to touch the heart of just one person in this room tonight, then all my hard work was worth it for me. I feel that I'm talking to at least one person in here tonight. Please allow me to tell you this as I close. You're beautiful. And you are so loved. And you are ready to do the work that God is asking you to do. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you.